To conquer the known galaxy, one must first build oneself an apparatus capable of such a conquest. Know then that this is a record of the union of Terra and Mars, and of the organizations and victories of the earliest days of the Great Crusade. For millennia, Terra's sister planet Mars had been a powerhouse of industrial and technological development. Establishing its own empire in tandem with that of old Earth, the technology of Mars was highly sought after and provided the backbone for the stellar expansion of the human race. However, during the Age of Strife, Mars suffered with the rest of the galaxy, if not harder than most. During the various civil conflicts that erupted as resources from off-world colonies vanished with the death of interstellar travel, Mars's atmospheric shielding collapsed, leaving the then terraformed planet prey to deadly stellar radiation. Over thousands of years, Mars's green returned to the rusted red it had once been, as organic life was scoured from its surface by radiation storms and industrial pollution. Only the technology of the planet's inhabitants ensured their survival, and over the centuries led to the development of the Martian machine cult, through the worship of the machine god, or Omnissiah, and the technological boons he granted his followers. The cult was possessed of a sense of unity, order, and purpose, something the devolved gangs of Mars lacked. Science was arcane faith to the developing Martian Mechanicum, whose sacred duty it became to preserve, research, and maintain the Omnissiah's sacred mysteries. The Mechanicum, spurred on by their ironclad devotions, purged Mars of its own techno-barbarians, mad industrial oligarchs, and rampant thinking machines. The latter was, in particular, deemed unspeakable blasphemy by the Mechanicum. Legends passed through the millennia of the Age of Strife spoke of machine uprisings as being in part to blame for the fall of humanity's once great stellar domain. From then on, abominable intelligence, being any machine intelligence the sum or greater than man's, was permanently outlawed. Whereas the imperial truth was annihilating religion in all forms on Terra, the dogma of the Mechanicum was serving to aid in the unification and stabilization of Mars. Recovered technology allowed the machine cult to repair Mars's radiation shields and establish the means of supplying its burgeoning flock with nutritious food and clean water. The Mechanicum of Mars unified long before Terra was brought under the Emperor's heel. Their faith and drive demanded the preservation and recovery of whatever technology and science they could find, and so they regarded the warring polities of Terra with a mix of envy and hatred. The Mechanicum knew Terra to be filled with the precious secrets of millennia of expansion and conquest, yet had not the power or resources to claim any of it for their own. Bands of Martian Magi would periodically venture to Terra on secret technological raids, attempting to extract any secrets they could, whether through diplomacy, trade, bribery, or force. At the same time, the Mechanicum was driven to blindly dispatch explorator fleets to the storm-ridden darkness of the galaxy, in a forlorn attempt to contact the remnants of humanity's empire. Of the fate of these fleets, little is known. Some did make contact with old colonies and founded new forge worlds in their machine god's name, but many, many others were simply lost to the violent tides of the warp. When the Emperor achieved Terran unity, the Mechanicum was initially split on how to deal with this new force in the solar system. Some amongst them believed him to simply be another power-hungry warlord, while others looked upon his impressive successes in genetic engineering as proof of an unparalleled scientific genius. Yet more looked upon his undeniably superhuman feats as being evidence that the Omnissiah himself had become incarnate. As the debate raged, the Emperor himself had been watching and drawing up his plans accordingly. It was a simple truth, discernible to any strategic thinker, that the solar system could not be conquered if Mars remained at odds with Terra. The Mechanicum was too unified, too strong, and more importantly, too vested in an array of technological secrets and powers to stand as a rival to the Imperium. Even counting on the burgeoning Legionnaires Astartes, the Emperor knew that subjugating the Red Planet by force would require an unacceptable expenditure of manpower and resources, present vast strategic problems, and ultimately was by no means assured. He no longer faced disparate, warring, and often mad despots, but a planetary-wide confederacy of an almost fanatical ideological purity. In many ways, the Mechanicum was at this point Terra's mirror, unified under one ruler and one ideology, yet neither possessing the requisite strength to expand beyond its own borders. Thus was struck the symbiotic partnership between the twin empires of Terra and Mars, with the signing of the Treaty of Olympus. The union, carefully negotiated by the Emperor and the Martian Fabricator General, granted complete sovereignty to the Mechanicum and their forge worlds within the boundaries of the Imperium, a level of independence not granted to any other human society. To cement this, the Fabricator General was granted a seat upon the Emperor's own war council. Additionally, the Emperor bestowed upon Mars 6 full houses of navigators to replace the long-degenerated genetic lines of Martian navigators. In exchange for this, Mars would build for the Emperor the first of his crusade war fleets, and arm the first of his crusade armies, and bend the industry of any reclaimed Mechanicum colonies to this endeavor. Mechanicum-armed forces would also supplement the Imperial expeditions, adding armies of Skitarii cyborgs, Legio Cybernetica war robots, and the god machines of the Titan houses. With the twin planets united under a common banner, work on the logistical apparatus of the Great Crusade proliferated at an exponential rate, augmented by Martian science and industry. Critical to this great endeavor was, of course, interstellar travel. The Emperor's achievements in this area are sometimes overlooked, but their importance cannot be understated. As the orbital shipyards of Mars bent to the construction of new Imperial and Mechanicum vessels, the Emperor brought into the Imperial fold the ancient genetic lines of the Navigators. A mutant subspecies of humanity, the Navigators were nonetheless one of the most vital components in the Imperial superstructure. Their mutation takes the form of a third eye in the center of the forehead, which allows them to perceive the currents, tides, and passages of the warp itself. Crucially, they do so without the risk of perceiving naked unreality driving them insane, as it would any other human. With a Navigator, a human ship is capable of traveling the warp for short, faster-than-light jumps, without risk of becoming lost, or worse, destroyed. It is not known when Navigators first emerged in the human gene pool, but it is known that they aided the expansion of the first human stellar empire during the Dark Age of Technology. In the Age of Strife, the massive warp storms that engulfed the galaxy rendered their talents useless. Unable to plot routes through the aetheric disturbances, they regressed along with the rest of humankind, perhaps even more so due to their need for arranged intermarriage to preserve their genetic mutation. The Navigator houses were rendered almost extinct, but the few that remained in hiding on Terra and pledged fealty to the Emperor saw a swift expansion in numbers at the beginning of the Great Crusade. While it is not known whether this was by direct intervention of the Emperor himself and a boon of his scientific genius, or simply the result of the separate houses being able to contact each other in peace and safety, it is irrespective of the importance of their rapid development. Every ship in the new Navis Imperialis and the Mechanicum's Basilicon Astra would need its own Navigator. Eager to have their power amongst the species reinstated in such a grand fashion, the Navigator households pledged fealty to the Imperium and submitted to whatever edicts the Emperor would issue to them. The subsuming of the Navigators into the Imperial machine occurred in tandem with one of the Emperor's greatest engineering projects. Drafting gigantic numbers of Mechanicum tech priests, as well as, it is recorded, the majority of the population of Terra itself, the Emperor constructed in the expanding Imperial palace the Astronomicon, the single largest structure on the planet. Ancient machinery housed within projected a shining psychic beacon through the warp, effectively a light piercing the other reality by which the Navigators of the Imperium would chart their courses. With the power of the Astronomicon serving as a celestial lighthouse to guide them, the distances the fleets of the Crusade could potentially travel and the safety that would be afforded to them was increased by a hitherto unprecedented degree. There were few amongst the masses of the Imperium, however, that realized that the Astronomicon was in truth simply a lens for the Emperor himself through which he could project his deathless psychic power. In creating this device, the Emperor became the literal guiding light for the entire species. The final piece of the Imperium's interstellar engine was the formalized creation of the Astra Telepathica, an act which, in combination with the use of Navigators, underscores the difficult relationship the Imperium had with human psykers. Official Imperial policy was that all psykers posed an unacceptable risk to the stability and safety of the species. During the Age of Strife, humanity had lost thousands of its colonies to the use of unrestrained psychic abilities, as an untrained psyker serves as a beacon in the warp through which the vicious predatory intelligences that dwelt there can exploit, sometimes as a conduit to breach the walls of our own reality. Terra itself had suffered from the depravity of numerous psychic despots and lunatics, many of whom the Emperor had only just defeated in the Wars of Unity. Practicality, however, was required when mounting an endeavor on the scale of the Great Crusade, and the issue of transgalactic communication was one yet unsolved by conventional technology. The Astra Telepathica was a solution to this particular issue, as well as a means for humanity to make good of emerging psykers. The astropaths of this organization could commune with each other over vast interstellar distances through the sending of psychosomatic visions and empathetic imagery. While less precise than would, strictly speaking, be ideal, these methods granted the Imperium its communication net. The process of creating astropaths was created by the Emperor himself, and was a procedure that only he could undertake. Through it, a psyker has their very cerebral structure reformatted by the Emperor's own psychic power. The practice is exceedingly traumatic. Some do not survive, and all have their minds and personalities irrevocably changed in some way, shape, or form. The act renders the astropath blind, but only to our reality. Through their dreams and visions, they serve as the conduits for the word of the Imperium, and thus the word of the Emperor himself. As the Emperor was laying the foundations for the development of extrasolar expeditions, the Great Crusade expanded outwards from Terra and Mars to bring the rest of the Sol system under Imperial control. Jupiter and its moons were liberated from the yoke of alien slaver regimes, allowing the Jovian Void clans to reclaim their place as humanity's shipwrights, as the production capacity of Jupiter's dockyards outstripped Mars's by a considerable degree. Saturn was next, where the Saturnine Ordo, one of the only surviving human polities in the solar system, swore immediate fealty to the Imperium. Their rival power in Saturnine near space, the clans of the Ringers, were swiftly defeated by the now resurgent Ordo and Astartes from the 14th Legion at the Battle of Cassina Regio on the moon Iapetus. The remaining moons were purged of yet more alien slavers, who were similarly driven from their holdings on Neptune. Pluto was settled by Imperial scientists and became the hub of an intra-system communication network, as well as an astropathic relay for missives to be sent to the galaxy at large. Finally, in the last act of solar reclamation, the Navis Imperialis annihilated Sedna, an artificial Xenos war moon lurking beyond the orbit of Pluto. The crucible of humanity had been reclaimed, and beyond lay the stars. Lay the stars.